Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, we have my awesome bartender buddy, Kevin Ditton, from WD50 in New York City, as well as an awesome band called The Crooners. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Damon. Sure, it's nice to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Before we get into some of the bar talk, you were telling me before the show that your first album for the Crooners was recorded actually on this block.
That's right, just across the street. The thing about coming out here to Roberta's, it's such a great spot. My memories of this, when I moved up from Philadelphia in 2005, the guys in my band had moved across the street to 250 Moore Street to open a little live-work home studio. And we cut our first all original record there, and there was nothing on this block. We got our van stolen from across the block right in front of Roberta's here, so I guess that's something.
And it's funny to see how everything's changed, right?
I think it's all for the better. This is a great spot. The charm, you can argue one way or the other about what's more authentic or, you know, I remember when, but I think it's ultimately good for the neighborhood. There's a lot more places for young people to live, a lot of cool stuff going on out here.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of those changes, you're working at WD50 with Wiley Dufresne, that guy. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him. So speaking on that subject of change, I mean, you guys are doing a lot of like more like molecular focused, the food obviously has always been that way, but again, with change, your bar program has been evolving into something very new as well. Can you give us a rundown on what's going on there?
Sure. The restaurant has been around for 9 years. Prior to that, he was 71 Clinton Fresh Foods across the street. And everything that he's been doing has been forward-thinking, but also very rooted in the neighborhood, which I think is part and parcel with what's happening across the board. Clinton Street, it's not Brooklyn, but, 9 years ago, it was certainly a hinterland of Manhattan, and to open a 3-star restaurant, Michelin star restaurant, in that space, to be doing what he was doing, I think sort of paved the way for a lot of what's happening out here now. It's go into a neighborhood that's not the first place that you would assume something like that is going to be, create something, and build the ballpark and hope that they will come. And for the last 9 years, we've been extremely fortunate that they have come. I came at a point 9 years in, or 8 years and 30-something days in, to replace a guy that had been there since day one. And they've had such legendary names in there in the food business, real pioneers, real people that are both super cool, but we're also pushing the envelope for American cuisine. So I'm extremely honored and humbled to be working with those folks. What we're doing now sort of goes along with what's happening across the board, I think, anyway, in something we talked about earlier. Culinarily, across the board, the beverage program has come to be more than just the wines that you offer. Like, every big name space has to have a beverage director. They have to have someone that's really driving the cocktail program. There's an expectation that you have X number of spirits, that you know how to make a certain canon of classic drinks, and then that you can provide the modern twist that WD is known for in light of all that. So it's been cool, but it's a lot harder than just pouring stuff in a glass and saying, this is new. Because that's been done for 100 years, so.
Totally. Nice Field of Dreams reference, by the way.
Before. Me and Costner share a first name.
That's true. So, with that being said, I mean, you know, obviously you said that there was this certain canon of classic drinks and then taking a modern twist onto them, which I think is like the best jumping ground, like that's the best platform to jump off of as far as creating new and exciting cocktails, you know, like especially with, well, first of all, we should say that, you know, every bartender should know how to make the classics and know them well. And, you know, even outside of the standard recipes that we find in, you know, a century old book, knowing that, like, you know what, this might be better with a little bit more citrus or maybe an extra dash of bitters in this Manhattan, or, you know, like taking your own creative control or classic control on that cocktail to make it appropriate for the modern era. With that in mind, you know, taking things like, you know, French 75 and tweaking it with different recipes, and as Phil Ward would say, you know, playing Mr. Potato Head, you know, and that's how you come up with these new cocktails. But you guys have, obviously there, you have a much more involved approach to that.
It's, I'd say the approach is mainly look at the things that we hold true, the things that we know, if this is what a dirty martini is, or this is what mac and cheese is, or this is what whatever classic is, and say, what are the component parts? What is the thing about it that makes it timeless and interesting? And then turn it on its head. I can give a specific example.
Sure.
With something that's on the menu now. I had the privilege of listening to Dale DeGroff talk about a dirty martini and why he would never order one. And if you've never heard this talk from Dale, you know, he's the grandfather of modern mixology, or the father. He'd probably hate being called grandpa. But he gave, and it's hard to describe it without letting you see the hand motions, but he said, you know why I won't drink a dirty martini? Because the bartender comes in and he kind of scratches his butt. And then he says, you know, I got a setup. And then, you know, he scratches his head and puts his finger in his nose. And then he pulls out that jar of olives.
I hope not.
this is all Dale's moves here. Totally. And then he sticks that filthy hand in the jar of olives and pulls it out, puts it in the thing that sits there unrefrigerated for 11 and a half hours. And he's like, do you really want to drink that? And for me, it's, do you want to pour salt water in that nice gin or vodka that you're spending all this money on? I think it's just gross as could be. So what we did, or what I did with the program was, all right, this is a drink that I wanted to call it the inevitable Friday night, because people are going to order these things and they love them. And you can't, you know, shit on people because they love a certain drink, but how can we make it better? How can we raise the expectation? So I blanched the olives to get as much of the salt out as possible, because that's, to me, the unhealthy and gross part and the weird part. And then we blend the olives with Spanish olives with vodka and Kalamata olives with gin to give you some variety. And then we have a medical-grade centrifuge, like every other bar, that we can spin out all the solids. And what you're left with is this green or purple-tinted spirit that tastes like olives but doesn't taste like salt. And then I finish the vodka martini with a little dollop of pimenton oil, so it looks like a little 2D olive on top of the martini glass. And to me, that's saying we're respectful of the past, we're respectful of what people love, we just want to slightly skew it so you can have it in a different way, and maybe it'll open your eyes up to something that's completely different that the average person would have never necessarily thought of, but they can enjoy.
Sure. And do you find, though, especially working in a place like WD-50, do you find that people are ordering more off the cocktail list rather than just ordering their standard, like, dirty martini? Or do you even have Brian around for that?
The way that I approach bartending generally is, if you know what you like and you want what you like, then by God, you should have what you like. And so I try to keep those things around so we can do any standards, any classics. You know, I won't put sugar on the rim of a lemon drop, but by God, I'll make you a lemon drop. If that's what you love and this is your big night out and you're spending the dough for it, have whatever you want. I don't have an ego about that. What I want is to offer something that people that are in for the experience can find something new or find something interesting that lives up to what the food is doing, because the food is really driving the bus there. I'm just happy to work with such big brain people that devote so much time to creating really interesting culinary experiences.
Absolutely. And speaking of the culinary side of it, do you, when coming up with cocktails, do you present recipes that are meant to pair with the food?
Yeah, I think that I draw a lot of inspiration from the menu because it should all make sense. You know, when we have a lot of first-time diners, a lot of people that are coming in from out of the country, from different parts of the U.S., they see Wiley on TV and they want to
see on The Simpsons.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because I've got the vodka martini that I mentioned. You remember when Bart used to prank call Moe's,
yeah,
and he'd say, I'm whatever? So that drink's called the Oliver Close-Off, which is one of Bart's prank calls.
Nice.
We
just started putting beet juice pickled eggs on the bar in reference to Moe's Tavern with the jar of pickled eggs. If anybody wants one, they can have one. It's free, but, you know.
It's free? I love pickled eggs.
I do, too.
They're not good for you.
No, they're not.
You know, I think that pickled eggs. My mom made pickled eggs. I was just back in Kansas, and he made a whole mess of pickled eggs, and I ate the whole thing.
That's right. I forgot we're old state neighbors.
Yeah, the middle of the country. If you were to spin around and play pin the tail on the donkey, you could probably hit Damon or I's spot more likely than you're going to hit New York City. So we got that going for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Suck that, New York. But insofar as stuff on the menu, like, we've got a dish right now called foie gras. That's a classical interpretation of Vietnamese noodle soup, but it's made with a fried foie gras consomme that's out of this world. It's really, you know, it's a shame how much foie gras goes into that stock, because so much deliciousness is packed into it. So I'm like, I don't want to make something that's going to taste the exact same, but look at the condiments that come along with foie. You've got lime and jalapenos and Thai basil. So all those ingredients go into a cryovac machine with some gin, and all that goodness gets sucked into it. And we do a Gibson with a sriracha pickled onion. So all the elements of the condiment plate that go into pho, that's a cocktail on the menu. It's called the pho cup.
Nice. That's great. I mean, you know, a lot of times on this show we've talked about how, or some guests will come on and say that, you know, the cocktails don't necessarily classically pair with food, and that, you know, it's always like wine or even beer, you know, or a spirit. But I think a lot of people are wrong about that. I think that cocktails can pair with food, exactly like what you were just saying. That's a great way of looking at it. And, you know, there's always a way to make anything work. It might take, you know, a couple of shots or like 50 times to like figure it out, but you can make cocktails work with food.
Yeah, and God bless Wiley for being so patient. You know, he's a guy, like when the Beatles and the Stones used to cut early tracks in the early 60s, they'd do the same song 40 times. And that sounds mind-numbing and awful, but the same is true for what Wiley's doing with beverages. It's like, let's try it every possible way with every possible spirit until it's the best it could be. And, you know, it takes a very patient owner who is willing to let you really explore those possibilities so it's right rather than expedient.
Right.
And so I'm very psyched to be working with someone who is okay with that. It's a luxury that a lot of people in smaller places can't afford.
Right. And most of the time it's about liquor costs, you know, and food costs. You know, you don't want to try it a billion times because you're like, all right, we're wasting materials. But if you actually go through that process and figure it out and make it right, then it just makes it that much better. And then you recoup your costs.
And quickly. Then it's good and consistent. Like, if I was to drink every mistake that I ever made, then I'd be long dead. But it's part of the process to make those mistakes and to figure it out. And I would say, sort of going back to what we were talking about before, big restaurant groups that are doing great cocktail programs, that are doing stellar bar programs, they're with groups. Eben Freeman at with Michael White. Danny Meyer, I think, has always been very supportive of a bar program. I got my start in New York as head bartender at Tabla, and Floyd Cardoz, who was the chef there, was so good about being a part of that creation process and teaching me what he knew. I've learned more from great chefs than I have from anybody other than from Jeff Anson, who just came back from Chicago. He's over at Reynard's now. That guy taught me everything I know about classic bartending. And from that, you're standing on the shoulder of so many giants that had been doing this for a century and were rediscovering it and tailoring it to a modern palate and hopefully pushing it forward in a good direction.
Absolutely. With that being said, how do you feel, like, where do you see cocktail programs with restaurants, like, around the country? Do you get to travel a lot and see, like, what different people are doing?
Some, and the thing is, I would say when I started, it was, I was kind of afraid to drink other people's drinks because they were just learning, but now I think the learning curve is such that everybody's doing really good drinks, and the competition is, I mean, I guess it's not a competition, but it feels that way to a certain extent. People are doing really cool stuff,
yeah.
And I'm excited to be out and see what other people's do. It really challenges, you know, your cleverness to come up with something that would inspire others.
Yeah. And with that being said, we'll hit this more after the break, but with that being said about the inspiration, especially playing in a band, you know, I always say that I draw a lot of my inspiration from music. When I'm coming up with drinks, we should definitely talk about that. You know, obviously we get inspiration from all directions, especially with the cuisine on the menu and just the surroundings of being an awesome city and traveling around and seeing other people's bar programs, seeing how people are growing in the scene as well. But definitely on the music side, that's where I get a lot of my inspiration.
Well, that's the good life.
That's the good life. Speaking of that, we'll be right back after this break and we'll talk more about the good life.
Getting late in the afternoon, so I sat wide awake in an empty room, and the day was good as new. I decided to take all the things that I'd use and pack them in a bag like a runaway youth. I'm away to move. I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way to move. Pouring rain when I opened the door, but the clouds went away cause I couldn't afford to remain in a civil war. But now the first step was hard, but the second one less, the third was a blur, I forget all the rest. I'm away, I'm away, I went. Now I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I went. Yeah, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, I'm on my way, on my way, I went.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
And we are back. You just heard On My Way by the Crooners, Kevin's band. We're speaking with Kevin Denton here today. We were just talking about WD-50 and restaurant and bar programs coming into sync and actually working in harmony together. You know, we talk sometimes on the show about how, like, there's always this animosity between, like, the front and back of the house, but it should be, like, one concise unit, you know, and, like, coming together and really making it happen all together. And it's starting to happen. You're starting to see more and more of that, especially with, like, restaurant bars, you know.
Well, booze is the key because cooks love booze.
They sure do. I worked a James Beard night on Monday with Brad Thomas Parsons. He's past guest of the show. He wrote the book Bitters, and it was with Mark Forgione as the chef. And I think I made more drinks for the kitchen staff than I did for the guests attending. But that being said, right before the break, we were talking a little bit about seeing different people's bar programs with restaurants and seeing how they're, especially traveling around, seeing how people use different regional ingredients and whatnot. There are so many interesting things that are going on around the country. And like you said before, you know, there were times when you'd be kind of wary to try like a new place's drinks because you're like, maybe they don't know exactly what they're doing yet, you know, we'll wait a little while. But we're getting to a point where it's like you can go anywhere, or most places, especially in this city, and get some really cool drinks. And just like with food, there are certain ingredients that have classically always been paired together, you know. I mean, you could say it's like peanut butter and jelly, or you could say, you know, like you said before, mac and cheese. But then even on a more, like healthier or classier side, I mean, like cucumber, watermelon, they work really well together.
Yeah, I hear Cocktail Bodega is all of, that's their thing. It's another Lower East Side bar that just opened. They're doing like wheatgrass and whiskey shots, mm-hmm. which I've always thought it would be a genius idea to figure out with a nutritionist what you could drink that would curb your hangover while drinking heavily,
sure.
such that you could balance the two out.
Sure.
I find that just sleeping till noon is the best way to balance that out. Haven't had a hangover in months.
Absolutely. That being said, you know, like with regional ingredients, you know, your band, the Crooners, you guys go on tour quite a bit. I mean, last time I saw you guys play was done at Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans. But what are some of the things that you've seen like around not only the United States, but around the world that you find really interesting as far as like cocktail ingredients and culinary ingredients?
You know, if there was a thing that I could do, if I could snap my fingers and have my dream job, it would be going around with the band. The band got started in 2001 in Paris playing on the street. And our late washtub bass player, Niles, brought us over there and said, this is the life. Busking and millionaires have the best life there is. And what we did was democratize the art that we were making. So we would set up in bougie neighborhoods in Paris and play, and people would respond really well, and they would take care of us monetarily. And then because of that, we got to go to a lot of other places in and around Europe and the U.S. And every place has a drinking culture. Every place, if I found anything in my travels, it's that most people are very similar, and they have similar temperaments. There's good people and bad people everywhere you go, and seeing how they celebrate and how they enjoy themselves and the rituals surrounding what they drink and how they enjoy themselves it's not only fascinating, it's just, it should make you much more of a, it sounds corny to say, but a global citizen. Like you start to understand that people are the same around the world, except for a few places, and then you understand what makes them happy and how they enjoy themselves, and you can do the same thing. I try to have, bringing it back, I try to have spirits from around the world on our back bar. That someone from Spain that wants to have Patron at the end of a meal, they can have that. Someone from the Mediterranean, from the Middle East, if they want Iraq at the end of their meal, they can have that. 'Cause I enjoy figuring out what other people like to drink from around the world, and if at the end of a great experience they're like, let's have shots of this, and if I have it, then that's going to only add to it, and it's going to say, I understand where you're coming from. I want to be hip to where you're coming from. That way we can all get along together. And, you know, for a long time, I was very fortunate to go to a good school and to study. I studied urban planning and did it for a little while. But the thing that I really learned in school was how the coming together of people with food and music and drink, that was when I was always the happiest. That's when I experienced people at their best and the most relaxed and the most comfortable having a conversation, disagreeing. Like it was really remarkable to see how those went together. And I've always been hard pressed to choose which one I'm going to pick. Is it going to be food and beverage, or is it going to be music? And I think
they go so well together.
They're made for one another. Yeah. And if you can do both of them, as I've been fortunate enough to do, I thank my lucky stars that I've been lucky enough to do this, that the gigs keep getting better, both on the booze side and on the music side. I'm a very lucky guy that I get to do both. And it, the end result for my quote-unquote labor is people having a great time.
Yeah.
And what's better than that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I feel the exact same way, you know, especially this whole summer has been, for me personally, and we've gotten to see a lot of each other over the summer, both musically and on the food and beverage side. And really, it's about, like, promoting a celebratory life or celebrating actual living, you know? It's like...
And but, here you can do it all the time. You know, there's enough people that in a small town you come together and over festivals and occasions, but here there's always something going on. And if you truly enjoy what you're doing, which I think that both of us do, then you can... I'm doing a little pop-up dinner this evening at Fat a Cuckoo that, with the chef de cuisine at the restaurant. I'm playing a wedding at the end of the month for a guy, Jay Zimmerman, who's got a bar out here in Williamsburg called Basic.
Yeah, Jay, he's been on the show. Great dude.
Super, really funny. The best dude.
He taught me one of the best high fives ever.
The Cobra?
The Cobra. Totally. So good.
But it's, you know, this is the best job in the world for so many reasons. And because I get to do both, because it's work, you know, it requires getting up in the morning and doing things.
Well, no one moved to this city to chill out, you know.
Yeah, if you did, that was wrong.
Moved here to kick some ass.
And it's nice to be able to do that and to be able to do it with such a diverse group of talented people. You know, everybody that I encounter in this city is so good at what they do, and they're so smart, and they're so intimidating in some ways. But also, if you love what you're doing and you're doing it for the right reason, then you gain from everybody in this business. Yeah. They're all jolly, good-hearted people.
Yeah. Well, speaking of both of those together, you know, I always say that I get a lot of inspiration from, and I do, I get a lot of inspiration for my cocktails from music, and then also a lot of inspiration to write music from, you know, the people I meet or the travels that I have from working in the food and beverage industry. So do those things, I mean, obviously you said they go really well together. Do they ever, like, intertwine, like, with your music and, like, the cocktails, drinks thing?
I would be remiss not to be a shameless self-promoter right now. I got a tune on my record on iTunes now, Denton, the sea under the city. It's a tune called Campari and Soda, which I think is very much about that. And I've listened to your tunes, and it's lifestyle. It's writing about what you know. And I think that from the perspective of, do I draw inspiration? I draw inspiration from everything around me. I'd say if I was looking for a cocktail name, I'd go to my record collection first.
Sure.
And I think tequila and Jimi Hendrix are a synonym, and it's a leap. But tequila came late to the game and revolutionized things, and I think that the electric guitar and Jimi Hendrix did the same thing. And you think about the two over time, and it's like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. So I named a drink the Spanish Castle Magic, because I think that's one of just a fiery Hendrix tune, and that's one of the drinks on our list right now that sells very well. And
what's in it?
It's reposado tequila, pineapple juice, chipotle infused agave nectar, and then on top I carbonate some Oloroso sherry, so you get this nice fizzy smell. It's like Hendrix burning the guitar. It's smell that that fire, and then underneath is something sweet and hot.
Very cool.
Just like you, Damon.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, man. I mean, like, do you ever, you said, like, did you find the inspiration for that from the song, or did you make the drink and then name it after Spanish Castle Magic?
Yeah, I mean, the Spanish part came from the Oloroso. Sure. But there's certain, like, ways that drinks make me feel. I've always sort of categorized things in this very convenient 3C method. It's celebratory, conversational, or contemplation. And that's kind of always how I break down a menu. It's, there's going to be the couple fizzy, easy, celebratory drinks that aren't going to weigh you down. Then there's the conversational one that, like, sours and things like that, that you can nurse for a little while. And then there's the contemplative drinks that if I walk into a place and I've had a rough day, or I got something I need to think about, I got a book, whatever, and I just want the bartender to set something in front of me that I can sort of nurse and not be part of the social scene. That's the thing. And I kind of put music in the same light. You know, I love soul and funk for the celebratory aspects of it. And I love, you know, moody, whiny stuff, too. You know, it makes me a little bit of a sissy, but I like that, too. But country music is all of those things, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Luckily, we've got a genre that spans all three.
Absolutely. Damn, Kevin, it's been great having you on the show, man. You'll have to be sure to come back sometime, man. It's been great talking to you, and you're doing the pop-up tonight.
And then any other day, Tuesday through Saturday, down at WD50, I'm behind the bar. So I would love for anybody to come check it out. We do two courses for $25 at the bar, so it's a steal.
Cool. Well, guys, go by and see Kevin Denton, WD50, and tonight, if you can make it by the pop-up, to celebrate, to conversate, and to contemplate, if you want. Thanks again, Kevin, for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot, Damon.
This has been The Speakeasy. We'll see you next week, and cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.